you turn with me in the Pew Bible to Isaiah chapter 40. It's on page 723 of the Pew Bible, Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to just look at a few small things in this little passage. It's a time of turmoil, a time of upheaval. The political future is not at all clear. Questions are being asked about what shape the future will take. There's uncertainty around. There are those who long to go back to what they call the good old days, back to when things were familiar, when things were predictable, when things were as they always had been, and where things were comfortable, where things showed no signs of change. It could be today. But it's also the time into which Isaiah spoke for God. Isaiah speaks into an uncertain world, a difficult world. And he predicts that the sin of not the nations at large, but the sin of God's people would have consequences. He's not speaking to the world out there. He's speaking to God's people and says, your sin will have consequences, will not go unnoticed, and it will be punished when they're taken into exile, when God's people are taken away from everything that is familiar, everything that's comfortable, everything that they've come to take for granted will be ripped away from them as they're taken into exile, and times will be hard. Now, that's a pretty grim message for anyone to hear, for any community, for any nation to hear. Everything that you love, everything that's important to you, it's going to be torn from you, and you'll be taken off somewhere where nothing will be familiar. Nothing will be the same. Nothing will be comfortable. It's a grim and hard message. And yet, in the midst of that bad news, there's also good news. And that's where this chapter 40 starts, which John read for us a few minutes ago. And so in the midst of this prophecy that God's people would be taken off into exile, where they would suffer dreadfully, Isaiah says these words, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. In the midst of this bad news, there is this gentle good news. There's a great sense of hope in the midst of a situation which might otherwise be hopeless. But how could this happen? How can we be devastated and yet be comforted by God? God's people are held away from home in Babylon, mighty Babylon. Mighty Babylon, who wasn't about to give up easily its grip upon Judah. How will it happen? Verses 9 and 10 simply say, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. What had happened amongst God's people at that stage was simply that they had taken God out of the equation. Life was very comfortable. Life was very easy. What do we need God for? And God was pushed to the margins of their lives as individuals and as a nation. They pushed God out to the very edges of their lives. They factor him out of the whole equation. And the future is gloomy. But with God, all things are possible. And so verse 10 simply says, his arm rules for him. Here's your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. His arm rules for him. It's a picture of might. It's a picture of power. It's a picture of strength. And it puts this great big God of whom we've just sung back into the picture, back into the situation. Everything's changed. All things are possible, even the restoration of his exiled people. It's a picture of strength. God's people had forgotten this God whom they worshipped, this God who was strong, who was powerful, who was mighty. It's a picture of strength, but it's not brutal. Sometimes we look around the world and the images of strength that we're given are those that are brutal. There are people who can crush others. There are people who can dominate, who can oppress. That's strength. But God, in this beautiful passage, speaks of this strength and this might and this power, but there's a gentleness with it too. Verse 11, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers his sheep in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Strength and gentleness combined in the God whom we worship. It's a beautiful, compassionate, gentle picture. And here are the arms of God. The arms of God which are strong to save and yet gentle to comfort and reassure. And that's great news for a nation which is far from God. Great news for people whose lives have been devastated. Your God is great, but he is gentle and compassionate also. The arms of God. We've just sung it. Our God is a great big God. And what does he do? He holds us in his hands. This great big God, this strong, this mighty, this powerful God, who gently holds us in his hands, carries us close to his heart in his love and his compassion. Isaiah, throughout his prophecy, points to the promised one, to the Messiah, the one who would come and demonstrate God's power to save and yet also be the Good Shepherd. And Advent brings us to this time of waiting. People waited for generations, waiting for this promised Messiah who would come. And they waited patiently, trusting in God. This Advent time is a time of waiting. It's a time of expectation. It's a time of excitement. For the promises that God makes are the promises that he always keeps, and he has kept those promises for us in Jesus. When Jesus is born in Bethlehem, all of those promises of the Old Testament are fulfilled in him. This God who was mighty to save, but who was compassionate and loving. In Jesus, God comes to us not only as the sovereign Lord, whose arm rules over both history and heartache, who rules over both kings and crises. This is the God who comes to us, and nothing and no one can change the course of his history. All those years of waiting for the Messiah, people wondered, maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe because of what's going on around us, God's purposes have been deflected and thwarted. God kept his promises in Jesus. Nothing can change the course of his history. And in Jesus, God comes to us as the Good Shepherd, gathers us in his arms, holds us close to his heart. It's a great picture, but it's also a great place to be. Held in the arms of God, carried close to his heart. God kept his word, kept his promise to his people, restored them, kept his promise and sent Jesus to be the Messiah, the chosen one. And that's part of what we celebrate. But Advent reminds us too of another promise, that Jesus will come again. We accept that Jesus is, or God's promises for the Messiah were fulfilled in Jesus, but somehow we almost forget this other promise that God will come again in Jesus. Somehow we think maybe God's stopped keeping his promises. Yes, he kept them in Bethlehem, but will he continue to keep them? He is still the God who is mighty to save. He is still the God who is gentle in love. And Jesus will come back in glory, and as we say every time we repeat the Apostles' Creed, to judge the living and the dead. So we wait. We wait to celebrate Christmas. We wait for that time when Jesus will come again. We live in a time where there are lots and lots of questions. Questions which affect us day by day. Questions about the future of our land, of our nation, of Europe, of the world. Questions which crop up continually because of things that happen around us, things that go on around our world. But when Jesus comes again, there will only be one question that really matters. It'll not have to do with politics. It'll not have to do with nations. It'll not have to do with religious affiliation. It will simply be, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? That's the only question which will matter. Have you ignored him? Have you maybe kicked him down the road a little bit to that day which maybe will be better or easier or more comfortable, as though that day will ever come? Or have you welcomed him as your Savior? This Advent time and all the time, God's arms are open to welcome you. Remember the story of the prodigal son, this young man who is far from his father, and his father stands and watches and waits, and when he sees his son coming back, does he stand with arms folded, waiting for his son to return? No, Jesus says he simply flings his arms wide and wraps them round his son. Will you run to him today, each day, during this time of Advent and way beyond, as we wait for that day when Jesus will come back? And until that day, may we know the truth of God's arms, which are strong to save and yet gentle to love. Let's pray together. Father, there is a lot that goes on in our heads and our hearts. Good things, important things, right things. And yet forgive us that these things can so easily push you to the margins of our lives. Factor you out of our picture. So forgive us, we pray. And may this Advent season be a time when we run to you, when we know the strength and the gentleness of your arms. Lord, lift our eyes, we pray, that we may know, not just in our heads, but in our hearts, that Jesus will return. And when he does, may we be ready. These and all our prayers we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake.